If I were to speak about a great man of faith or a great woman of faith, what sort of person would come to mind? We might think of someone who turns their back on the pleasures of this world to devote themselves to a life in a monastery, or someone in the mold of a reformer who would stand up for their convictions even when that went against what was popular and what was safe for them and their family and for those they loved. We might think of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world who are prepared to go to jail rather than give up their commitment to Christ. Or perhaps for those who have chosen to die rather than recant their faith. Or nearer to home, think of those whose presence gives off a kind of deep peace whenever they're near somebody else, a deep peace that only a life of faith can create. Any of these pictures would have much to commend us for and would be inspiring to us. The problem is, when we do think of people like that, they don't always seem to have a lot in common with people like us. Such strong convictions, so boldly lived out, seem to have little connection to our lives, riddled as we are with our doubts and confusion and compromises. Well, this morning, we have read one incident in the life of Abraham, a great man of faith. Indeed, Abraham is not only held in great esteem in Christian scriptures, he's also equally held up as an example of faith among Jews and Muslims. These religions may have gone in some different directions, but they all consider themselves to be children of Abraham. And so much so that our writings, God is defined as being the God of Abraham. And when God speaks in the Old Testament, this is how he identifies himself. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You can't get a better recommendation than that. Even God, it seems, is proud to associate himself with this man. If anyone can be described as a person of faith, Abraham fits the bill. We are told in the Bible that Abraham believed in the Lord and the Lord reckoned it to him for righteousness. So you might expect from that we will have a sermon about the wonderful faith which Abraham demonstrated and how we ought to learn from his example. And in a sense, you would be right. But before we all prepare to feel hopelessly inadequate when we compare ourselves once again to Abraham, we should realize that there is far more to this figure than we assume. And we should realize that his particular kind of faith may be much easier for people like you and me to relate to than we might expect. Certainly, we find moments when Abraham demonstrates strong faith and clear conviction, such as when he leaves his home and sets out to go to a place that he doesn't even know, just because he knows that God has called him to do that. Or when he gave his nephew, Lot, first choice of the land when they came to divide up the land, trusting that God would look after him no matter where he ended up. Or the gracious way that he had rescued Lot when his town had been overrun and ransacked, refusing any reward because he did not want anyone to say that the riches came from anyone but God alone. And most famously, his trust in God was so powerful that he would be willing to kill his son if only he knew that that's what God demanded. All of this makes him seem a little bit out of our league when it comes to faith. However, when you follow his faith story, you can see that his faith was never, in fact, easy, nor was it clear-cut. And least of all, we find him doubting God. If God would God keep his promises? Or we find him doubting if God will keep these promises, and he's impatient when things are going far too slowly. And we find him acting in ways which suggest that he really doesn't trust God at all. For example, there are two stories in which men were attracted to his wife. Abraham became afraid that they would kill him in order to get her. So he came up with a plan. He said to her that she was to tell them that she is his sister and let them have her, accepting generous rewards in the process and leading to some very messy consequences. That doesn't sound so much like a man of faith, does it? God twice promised Abraham that he would have descendants which would be widespread as dust on the ground and numerous as the stars in the sky. But the still childless man seems to have signed a contract to adopt one of his servants as a next of kin. And even after assurances are repeated in our passage, he soon decides the only way of having children is to have one of his female servants made pregnant, which he does. And again, very messy consequences. That doesn't sound too much like a man of faith. So what makes Abraham so special that three major religions of the world look to him as their founder and as some sort of hero? Well, it might be his faith is strong. And here it is. Ultimately, it's not Abraham's faith in God that makes him noteworthy. It's God's faith in him. God has promised to bless him, and God will bless him, no matter how many times he gets it wrong or messes things up. And that is why this story is so fundamental to religious faith, because it takes us back to the foundation of it all, that it is faith in God, not faith in our ability to be good enough or believe enough or try hard enough. It is faith in God's generosity and mercy and faithfulness, and not in ourselves. That's hard for us to hold on to. We live in a culture where we are expected to earn anything we get, where rewards have to be achieved. But the Bible goes out of its way to make it clear that the blessing of God does not come out because of anything that the people of God have done, but because of this special quality of God. So when we understand the difference between a great man of faith or a great woman of faith and a man or woman who may be very ordinary indeed, but whose life is caught up by a great faith, it is the faith which is great, not the person. That is why we see in the lives of all the Bible heroes, the Old Testament is full of very dodgy characters. We would not want, for example, to have our children follow what Samson did or even King David or Moses himself, all of whom have blood on their hands. And in the New Testament, we read about people who we now refer to as saints. And anyone who knew Peter would have found it the idea very amusing. And Paul was happy to describe himself as the worst of sinners. The one thing about the lives which we find inspiring is that their living was caught up in the great faith, and that they managed to hold to that faith, even if at sometimes they only held on by the tips of their fingers. Their faith did not make them perfect. That is clear enough. And it didn't solve all their problems, far from it. But it raised them above the level of which is merely mundane and drew them into the big story of what life is really all about. Their faith allowed them to believe that their lives had purpose and significance beyond what they could see with their eyes. It allowed them to believe that they were held in the hands of God, and that whatever happened to them, God would not let them go. It is a faith that is great, not the people. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that deeply reassuring, for the faith has not changed. God has promised to bless us, and God will bless us. no matter how many times we get it wrong or mess up. So Abraham becomes an example for us, not because he lived a good, faithful life. I'm not saying that we shouldn't live good lives. I think it's wonderful, a wonderful goal for us to have. But we should not fall into the trap of believing that we will be counted as righteous by God because of how impressive our efforts are. Abraham becomes an example for us, not because he believed right things, but not because of that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't try to believe the right things, to search for the truth and the clearer understanding. It's a wonderful goal for us to have. But we should not fall into the trap of thinking that we will only be counted as righteous by God if we get sufficient marks when our personal statement of faith is examined. Abraham becomes an example for us despite his mistakes and his confusion and his doubts. He managed to hold on to the belief that God was going to be good to him. He may not have held that belief as firmly or as surely or as confidently as he should. But nor did he ever fully lose it. And in the end, that proves to be enough. And the promises are fulfilled and the purposes of God come to fruition. This is the sheer, undeserved, wildly generous grace of God. And this is still the God we are invited to have faith in. The God of Abraham, who desires to gather his children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. The God of Abraham, who will give his son a cross for the sins of the world. The God of Abraham, in whom we can have faith, for he has promised to bless us, and he will bless us, no matter how many times we doubt him. And that is good news for all of us. Amen.